up your name, Lord, the name that is above every name. Hallelujah, he said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. That's the only name, the only one to lift up and let him draw men to himself. Amen, amen. So good to be in church this afternoon. Y'all gonna sing another? You got another singer? Okay. All right. I don't want to get in the way. But as you can tell, our pastor has fallen ill, bless his heart. And going through that, all that stuff you go through with food poisoning. And I don't know about him, but I'll tell you, I'd rather have just about anything than nausea and throwing up. That is one of my least favorite things to do. But let's keep him in your prayers that God would strengthen his body and would get him out of that. But he called me or texted me today and asked me, said, you're going to be available? What do you tell him? Nah. So I covet your prayers this afternoon. But we want to read a card right quick. Dear Harvest Time Church family, the little poem on the card, thanks so much, you were more than kind. People like you aren't easy to find. We appreciate and love y'all very much, and we thank everyone for the prayers, visits, calls, and cards. Love, Brother David and Sister Julie Douglas. I am so glad after I found out what all took place that Brother Douglas is standing right there. I've been going to this church for 9 years, and we've had, of course, Ma Cooley passed away. But as far as I know, we've never had a funeral in this church, and I don't want to start now. Amen. I'm so glad Brother Douglas is here. God bless you, Brother Douglas. I know you are probably more than I'm glad to have you. We love Brother Douglas. God bless him. I want to teach a little lesson this afternoon quickly. I titled it, For Such a Time as This, Is It Your Time? For such a time as this, is it your time? Amen. We'll read one verse of scripture and you can be seated. Thank you for standing. The book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Do not let the opportunity pass you by. If it's your time, if it's my time to do what the Lord needs done. I don't want me and my house to be destroyed. I don't want it to have to come from somewhere else to accomplish God's work. I want to do what I need to do for God. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. And I'm telling you, just as sure as there is a law of the harvest, just as sure as the sun comes up every morning in the east, and just as sure as you till the soil, plant the seed, and water it, a harvest is going to be reaped. If you don't tend to it, somebody else will, but a harvest will be reaped. So there are a lot of different seasons of change. There's winter, spring, summer, fall, that, as you know. And it seemed like our winter doesn't run into spring, but anyway, it's getting a little better. Thank the Lord for the sunshine today. But the seasons do change, and people that you haven't seen a while, and places that you haven't been, things change. I remember I left to Quincy one time, talked my father-in-law into going with me. He left during World War II, and when he got back to De Quincy, he said, I make a promise. I will not spend a night nowhere else but in my own bed. And man, he wasn't kidding. He didn't. Until I talked him to going with me on an overnight trip to do some handiwork for an aunt of mine in El Dorado, Arkansas. But things change, and we were going into the south end of Shreveport. And my father-in-law looked at me, he said, "Boy, this place has changed." I said, "Well, Daddy," I said, "when were you here last?" He said, "When I was inducted in 1942 in the Army." This was in the early 80s. I said, "Yeah, it has changed, Paul, quite a bit." But things change. And sometimes you'll see people in different seasons of their life, and they're, a lot of times their countenance and conversation will be different. And changes are occurring. And I have a good friend in Houston that I talk to once in a while. We're very close friends. And we found out he was in a horrible train 18-wheeler accident while he was switching cars in a rail yard. And when it was all said and done, he found himself in a little cubbyhole pinned between the 18-wheeler and the engine of that train. God spared his life. And when I talked to Don, I could tell, boy, there was something different. His countenance had changed. His conversation had changed for a little bit. He realized that God had taken him through that thing. Should have been killed. I mean, it just from the looks of everything he said, I should not even be here. God's got a purpose for me. Don't let me pass up my chance. If it's my time, Lord, to do it, let me do the best I can. Amen. But Mordecai was speaking to Esther and wanted her to realize that God had given her an opportunity to be a blessing. And God had been grooming her for this moment in time. And all that she'd been through as an orphan girl and raised by her uncle, I'm sure maybe her life hadn't been a bed of roses either. But she had been through a lot. And sometimes we probably wonder the same thing. Why, God, are you setting me up for this time in my life, or this season in my life? Joseph, sold into slavery. But God had a plan. He had to be to deliver Israel from the famine. And Joseph at the time, he probably didn't understand all that down in the pit that his brothers threw him in. But God had a plan. And you know the story as well as I do. He lost more than one coat on the way to his destiny. I'm telling you, old Joseph went through it. I mean, like the old saying, from the pit to the palace, from the palace back to the prison, from the prison. I mean, he went through some stuff. But he had a destiny. And Joseph never wavered. He wanted to do what he needed to do for God when it was his time. He could have told his brothers, "Look, all of y'all just go back to Israel. Y'all going back home. I haven't got time for you," knowing who they were. But that's not what he was about. Amen. He was ready to do what God had called him to do. David, just a shepherd boy on a hillside. But God himself saw the potential in David as a king, the great king of Israel. And David was the first king to combine both kingdoms, the northern Israel, the Israel kingdom in the north, and Judah in the south. But Esther had something that she needed to do. Esther chapter 5, verse 14. Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, "Let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet." And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Now Esther had a destiny, but at this point in time it didn't look good. The man that had raised her, Mordecai, was fixing to be hanged on the gallows. And you know the story how the order had gone out. Slaughter all the Jews. We're fixing to get rid of them. And I did a little looking up on those gallows. And a cubit being approximately 25 inches in a gallows feet. That gallows was 104 feet and 2 inches high. Most fire towers are what, 90 feet? 95? Can you imagine somebody being hung from 104 feet up? But I tell you, sometimes we live our lives on this earth in the shadow of the gallows when we ought to get out away from it. I'm telling you, Satan, the prince of this world, he wants to crush you. He wants you to be fearful of death and fearful of your future. But I'm here to tell you, God has everything in control. God has everything into control. The scripture says he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And that word destroy in the original manuscript means to grind to a fine powder. I says, if he wants to steal and kill, what's left? He wants to make you so useless and worthless that you can't even be put back together. You're just a fine powder is all that's left of you. But I'm telling you, my God is in control of everything. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work. And who shall let it? That word let it means reverse it. You tell me who's going to reverse God's plan. Ain't no man going to do it. I promise you that. So remember, God is in control. John chapter 10, verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, you might escape out of his hand under your own volition or your own will. No man's going to pluck you out of his hand. Verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. I tell you, sometimes the challenge really seems tremendous, but God had chosen Esther out. And I'm telling you, she was willing. I'm telling you, they were on the verge of being exterminated. You read the Bible about the Babylonian captivity and this captivity, and we bring it all the way down to our era, especially our forefathers' era in World War II. 6 million Jews were destroyed trying to do away with the race of people. I'm telling you, trying to exterminate the Jews ain't nothing new. It's happened to them before. But I promise you, I taught a lesson one time, don't leave a remnant. If you don't want something to happen, don't you leave a remnant. And you look at the Jewish people today. I know they went through a lot, and one of the most sobering things I've ever seen, and my brother here that's with me tonight, he was with me over in Israel. We went through that Holocaust museum, and you look at the actual artifacts and clothes, and they even had little toys built out of paper and cardboard and wood, something to occupy their mind and to keep their mind literally from just going crazy and suffering like they did. But I'm telling you, ain't no man going to pluck them out of his hand. Amen. Amen. But Mordecai's counsel had more or less enlightened Esther to God's purpose of why that she had been placed in this position at this time. And I want to tell you here and now, nothing can prepare you for things like that other than fervent prayer and seeking the face of God. I'm telling you, sometimes when there are great undertakings that you have to deal with and things come, nothing can prepare you like prayer and supplication before God. And Jesus Christ himself demonstrated that many times. He would take himself off out away from the disciples and other people to pray. And some people say, well, I have a vision of what God would have me do. But I'm telling you, vision alone is not enough. It takes prayer and supplication to be effective in the kingdom of God. Time spent with God. I'm telling you, this business about your spiritual walk with God, you can't do it with your own intellect. I can't do it with my own intellect and my will. It has to be according to his will and with his help. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? You started in the Spirit. Now you think it's the flesh that's going to see you through or that's going to perfect you? I'm telling you, made perfect by the flesh, that simply means trying to reach maturity, whether it's physical or spiritual, by our own human effects and efforts. It's not going to happen. I tell you, we were saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and we got to grow by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We must realize that growing spiritually is because God works in us by His Spirit. Amen. The Spirit in us works with His Spirit. Scripture talks about His Spirit speaks to Spirit. If the Spirit's not here, He can talk all He wants. He's not going to communicate with you. But when the time comes for God to talk to you, Lord, let me be open. Let my mind and heart be such like Esther and Mordecai to be able to answer the call. And when it's my time, Lord, let me react. Amen. Our prayer, fasting, and studying God's Word, that's what keeps us operating in the Spirit. Amen. It's not the ideals of man or the will of people that I myself seek after the will of God. But I tell you, it's what He desires for me to accomplish in my life. And this is found only through prayer and fasting and seeking after the face of God. I want to be like David said, Lord, as that heart panteth after the water brook, so do my soul panteth after You, O God. A never-ending quest after more of God so I can be ready when it comes my time to react. Amen. Don't let anybody else ever define who you are. It's God alone. God alone has the plan for you. Ask Him. Ask Him, what is my duty? What do you want me to do? And it doesn't matter how small, how large, God's got a plan. It may not be one like Esther where we're rescuing a nation of people. But that's okay. Whatever God's plan for us, when it's my time, Lord, let me be willing. Amen. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Scripture says, and we're made in His image. I want to seek after the One that fearfully and wonderfully made me. I want to seek after the One that I am created in His image. And of course, a lot of teaching and preaching has been talked about being created in God's image. And I thought often, I said, you know, I wonder if the angels, when